We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good soggy afternoon, upstate. Welcome to another Upstate Outdoors in upstate
Mudhole.
Upstate Seattle. So I don't know. It's kind of funny. People talk about it. It's only rained twice this winter. The first time for like 35 days and the second time for like 25 days.
I done gone from being mad to just laugh.
Yes. That's Springer for you. That's not hard.
That's an improvement though.
That's the expected response there.
No more Springer, ranting.
Springer just laughs.
No more rant.
Well, while you're listening to the radio today, we have got a great show for you today. By the way, I forgot to tell you. I'm Philip Gentry, and this is Tommy Springer. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
If you didn't know that already, now you do.
We got a great show for you today. We're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog first and talking about some great springtime trout fishing on Lake Jocassee.
They catching them.
Yep. Well, and it's about that time there, the fish are coming back down. But anyway, I don't want to ruin the blog. We'll talk about that. And then a first, you know, I don't do a whole lot. I know we talked about, was it last month when I was doing some crappie fishing seminars and everything. And I work a lot with B&M Poles out of West Point, Mississippi. And I've kind of left those guys out because that's kind of something different that I do. But I thought, man, I'm struggling. I've been crappie fishing the last, well, I don't know, really. I took about a month off in January after deer season. And then I started getting on the water and, you know, trying to figure out where the fish were. And I've been struggling. Some days I do okay, and some days I catch everything but. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call my buddy Kent Driscoll. Pro staff manager for B&M Poles. And Kent has lived all over the Southeast. And he now lives in up near Nashville, Tennessee, and fishes Percy Priest a lot, which is a relatively clear lake. And I was like, Kent, why don't you come on the show and talk about how to catch crappie in what would normally be clear water that's now, you know, chocolate milk.
Right.
So we got Kent coming on the show during the first hour. And then, have you got your turkey tags?
Yes, I do.
Yes, they were mailed out this week. That's probably all there's going to be to say about that because that was basically the gist of the whole turkey tags will be mailed out this week. So, yeah. But we'll get into that a little bit. Yeah. It's about to be turkey season. We've got, 11 more days?
Yeah.
11 more days. Opens on March the 20th.
This year.
Well, we don't want to ruin that surprise.
No, but it could be a change.
Then during the second hour, Springer's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
Yeah, I'm putting some back straps on the grill tomorrow wrapped in bacon, and that's what's on the Roadkill Cafe.
In the 70-degree temperature.
Well, that's why
tomorrow.
I've done it. I'm
You're calling the weatherman out.
I'm calling him out.
I want to see if it's going to be 70 degrees.
That's what I said.
It's usually 70 degrees during the thunderstorms that we get.
True. So, or Monday when it's time to go back to the Monday through Friday job.
Yep. Then getting everybody in the mood for turkey season, we got the 7 most common mistakes that beginning turkey hunters make, and I reviewed this. This is from wideopenspaces.com. I make all 7 of these. Sometimes I do 2 and 3 at a time.
Agreed. Yeah. Same here. Ditto.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk with the Department of Natural Resources Assistant Big Game Coordinator, Jay Cantrell. Those of you who are turkey hunting fans or just outdoor fans in general may have kind of gotten wind of a proposal that the Department of Natural Resources is putting together. You know, they're trying to address the decline in turkey numbers across the state. And a few years ago, they addressed that not so much from a conservation standpoint of view, but just to get the season dates aligned.
Right.
Which in order to do that, you know, used to open on March 15th down the lower part of the state, and then April 1st up here. And so they kind of all came together, and now everybody opens on March the 20th. Well, now they've got some statistics that are showing them that that's hurting the turkey population, and so they're trying to lobby the state assembly into changing the opening dates of turkey season and moving it back. It might even be further back than April 1st than the original starting date for the upstate. So yeah, we'll talk with Jay Cantrell. We'll get some of the facts behind that proposal that is going on now. A lot of folks on the internet been talking about that. A lot of hunters don't like it. I think a lot of folks don't understand the reasoning for it. And so we'll let Jay Cantrell address a lot of that. And then at the end of the show, we're going to have the calendar of events.
Yeah, I got some, buddy. Got them.
Yep, everybody's having
going on tonight.
And if you've got banquets or tournaments or events or whatever,
yes, please
let us know. Best way is to put it on. Go ahead and post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's working out real good.
Facebook.com/UpstateOutdoors/WORD. And Springer will add that to his stack there. And then our parting shot. Normally we make fun of people, but I couldn't resist this one. It's a story about a 3-year-old kid who put the smackdown on a big old rainbow trout with his Spider-Man rod.
Hey, all that lose and pin and Shimano, that's overrated.
Yeah,
it's overrated.
Yeah, it's a cool story. So we're gonna since everybody's depressed enough about watching the news and
exactly.
watching the weather.
Like, exactly.
You know, I can't do a parting shot where you know some moron did
yeah.
something moronic.
Very good, Philip.
So we'll go out on a good note today with the parting shot. So what you got going on this week, Springer?
Well, it was a beautiful week for
How's
two or three days.
How's the art coming?
I'm just, what do? There's nothing you can do.
Well, we went down to Santee over the weekend.
Yeah.
We went down shad fishing.
Yeah, I've seen some of the fine baits.
That's kind of a rite of passage down there with yeah. the American shad. We never did catch a hickory shad. All we caught two different species. I went down there with boat girl and I went down. We took our boat, and I invited my buddy Justin Carter to come up from Charleston. He was a guy down there with Redfin Charters, and he had the day off, and he said, man, I'd love to come up there because he's using the shad for bait
sure.
later on in the year, especially early season when they don't have a lot of bait. So we went down to the Rediversion Canal. And I always get that mixed up because the Diversion Canal is the canal that connects Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie. And it's really an intricate system that they use to fill Lake Moultrie. Lake Moultrie basically is just a great big swamp, but it has two dams on it.
Okay.
So they have one dam down at Panopolis. That's the one that you lock through and go on down, you know, the Cooper River into Charleston. But then they have another dam at St. Stephen's that's the beginning of the Rediversion Canal, and it runs into the Santee River. Well, like everything else across the southeast, water levels are just tremendous.
I'm sure.
And so they do release water out of St. Stephen, although they don't have to release it. I mean, like at Panopolis, they got to go with the flow like everybody upstream.
Mm-hmm.
But at St. Stephen, they do release some water, but they got to be real careful about how much they release because that's where they get a lot of their stripers. They come up and they electroshock those fish, and then they use them because the Bayless hatchery is not that far away.
Right.
That they use to take the stripers and you know do all the stuff for the stocking program. Well, at about the same time, you've got all of these American shad, and these are not small fish. These
no.
are a small American shad will be over a pound.
Yes.
Okay. Now the hickory shad, which also run, you catch more of those because they run across. They run up the rivers. In the along the East Coast. I mean, been doing it forever and ever. I mean, you can go back in history and look at, you know, some of the settlers. George Washington, there's something I read about George Washington.
True.
One of his favorite dishes was American shad.
Yep.
That he liked to eat. Of course, he didn't have no teeth. They had wooden teeth. Anyway.
I get your point.
So that's been a big food staple. But,
right.
you know, nowadays, and there are still people who eat the shad roe
right.
in the female shad. That's a big deal. Ooh, I'm going to tell you what, though. You get some of them on your hands and that. Whew.
It's a different deal.
Yeah. They're a lot of fun to catch, a lot of fun. The
sure.
The limit is 20 per person. We did not catch a limit of fish among three of us. We fished all day long. It was cold.
Yeah.
And my nose is runny because I was outside all day Monday and out in the cold blowing wind. But we had a good time.
Good. Good.
Catching those fish because the current flow was so heavy. Like I said, they increased the flow out of St. Stephen's just to try to relieve some of the pressure. We were using sabiki rigs.
Love those things.
With a 2 ounce weight on the bottom.
Wow.
And a lot of times all we do is just throw the sabiki rig out and just let it
do its thing.
You know, sit it on the bottom.
Right.
And then, you know, you see the rod bent over.
Right.
And we were casting some of them, but I prefer to catch them when there's not so much flow and you can throw like just crappy jigs or a little heavier, maybe double crappy jigs. And man, they fight hard.
Yeah.
And all that current with a 2 ounce weight, they did not jump as much as they normally do.
You get any sabiki rig hooks in your hand?
It came back. I mean, it was cold and wet all day. And
it's amazing.
And of course, boat girl worries about me, you know, dying of 100,000 different things.
Sure.
And so she goes, here's some, what's that, that lotion,
the
antibacterial.
Aid, yeah, whatever.
I put that on my hands. I was like, ow.
Yeah, it lights
you
up.
You didn't realize how many sabiki rig hook holes, and they're little bitty ones.
Yeah, I use sabiki rigs a lot when I catch bait when I go home.
Yeah.
And every shirt I got's got a hole in it from sabiki rig.
Yeah.
Swimsuit too.
Oh yeah, you try to put one of those fish in a net with about seven more hooks, you're gonna get some in your hand.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog, talk about some Joe Cassie trout fishing.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio. Springer's laughing at me for making good fun of the Upstate Pulse show. I'm going to tell you what, you can make fun of Alonzo and Chris and Patrick and everything until you need something recorded on a timeline.
Good luck.
And then who has the last laugh?
They do.
So if I make a little bit of fun of the Upstate Pulse. And I do. I find myself tuning into their show on Facebook.
Right.
Because they Facebook Live their entire show.
Right, right.
And I'll just come on and say something stupid
I love your comments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
And it's all in good, like I said. I like their show. Whenever I need to get my Marvel comic nerd on.
I got you.
Which they're probably going nuts because, like, isn't Comic-Con?
Yeah,
or something
it's in town,
this
man. It's like the Bassmasters Classic.
Yes, they're having their Bassmaster Classic this week.
Exactly.
So, if you're 7 o'clock, I think is what he said.
7 o'clock.
Upstate Pulse. So,
Chris, Lonzo, and our buddy Patrick Brown.
All done in love.
Exactly.
Anyway, the Upstate Outdoors blog. Getting back to more slimy subjects. If you've ever been to Lake Joe Cassie. It's located in the northwest corner of South Carolina. Beautiful, pristine lake that offers anglers a variety of fishing adventures that are found nowhere else in the state. It's a 7,500-acre mountain lake. It's the deepest in the state, measuring to depths of nearly 300 feet. If I was ever going to hide a body, that's where I would put it.
Bingo!
The lake is fed by four Appalachian rivers that keep its depths cold throughout the year. An impoundment of the Whitewater, Thompson, and Horse Pasture and Toxaway Rivers, Joe Cassie remains almost virtually undeveloped, surrounded by steep mountain terrain owned by Duke Power. Aren't they like called something else now?
No, it's still Duke to my knowledge.
I thought it was Progress Center. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, Duke Power. It'll always be Duke Power to me, even if they do change their name. It's like the Bilo Center out there.
Exactly.
The creator of the lake and public trust lands owned by the state. While Joe Cassie is a well-respected trophy black bass fishery, it's best known for its abundant rainbow and brown trout, which are stocked and regulated by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. The lake's trout fishing strategies have evolved over time, with most anglers now relying almost completely on trolling tactics, using downriggers to reach the lake's deep water trout. You ever use a downrigger in saltwater?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
More hassle than it's worth, or you like them?
It is hassle, but
if it works, it's not a hassle.
But sometimes it requires them.
Well,
okay.
Due to the trout's propensity for cold, dark water, trout are often caught as deep as 100 feet throughout the year. This deep water fishing necessitates the use of specialized equipment in order to present the baits at appropriate depths. Now, for years, Great Lakes and saltwater anglers have relied on downrigger setups to reach deep water fish. That's now become the norm on Lake Joe Cassie. And we were talking about downriggers. That's it's a round or oblong 8 to 10 pound lead ball. That's plenty of weight to get you down wherever you need it. And it also, when you're trolling, that keeps it completely vertical in the water column. And that gets the lines down to the desired depths. The weight is suspended by a 150-pound test cable that connects the boat via a metal arm or a boom. The cable is attached to a spool that allows the line to be released or retrieved by either hand, crank, or an electric motor. It's also got a line counter on it, so you know exactly how deep you are. The line release is attached to the cable just above the weight, which holds the main fishing line. So basically what you've got is you've got a big ball on a line, and you've got a release somewhere, you know, up that line so that you can control your depth. Now, like most fish species, trout pattern differently in Joe Cassie depending on the time of year and the water's surface temperature. Although neither brown nor rainbow trout successfully spawn in Joe Cassie, both species make an annual spawning run up the river arms, and that's probably where they'll be this time of year.
Yeah.
This run begins in November and lasts until late March when the fish return to the main lake basin. Now, the trout bite in March is primarily rainbows with just a few brown trout scattered in. It's been suggested that the browns don't recover from the spawn quite as quickly, and that's why you don't see as many of them. And also that the rainbows are just that much more aggressive. In either case, 90% of the catch in March and April tend to be rainbows, with a few brown trout scattered in the mix. But the browns do tend to be pretty good-sized fish. You ever eat brown trout?
No, I have not. I've eaten rainbow, but not brown.
The brown trout, to me, brown trout is probably the best eating freshwater fish available locally.
That's what
I've
heard.
Now, I like salmon, and brown trout reminds me a lot of salmon, only instead of having a pink flesh, it's got a yellow flesh.
Yep, it does.
Now, stocking of both rainbows and brown trout are the lake's source of recruitment from stocked fish coming from the nearby Walhalla Fish Hatchery, which is a great tourist attraction if you're ever up that way, go up Highway 107. And that was purchased by the state many years ago, from the National Wildlife Service. And they operate it today. And that facility provides a bunch of trout all across, really, the southeast.
Right.
Now, the daily creel limit for any cold water trout caught from Lake Joe Cassie is 3 per person per day. A lot of folks are still sore about that. Used to be 5. There's a minimum size limit of 15 inches for any species of trout caught from October 1st until May 31st, with only one of those fish allowed being over 20 inches. Now, during that gap, you catch 3 and you're done.
Right.
Because they don't release. Not during the warmer weather. A freshwater fishing license is required, but South Carolina does not require a trout stamp. Don't even have one if you wanted one. So there you go, fishing on Lake Joe Cassie.
Downriggers.
Probably one of the few lakes in the state that
it's
is not rolling muddy.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. Yeah, well
so
said.
You can go up here and it's still going to be pretty clear.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, matter of fact, if you're like, man, I don't want to buy all that stuff, but I don't want to go up there and catch them.
Tell them what they can do, cuz.
You can give our buddy Santa Sam, our buddy Sam Jones. He does that almost every day.
Every day.
Go up there and fish on Lake Joe
Cassie. And I've been watching his Facebook page lately, and they've been getting them.
So, I mean, and trout are fickle. Some days they're good and some days they're bad. I mean, I guess it's like any other kind of fishing.
Sure.
But they're just – you don't get on a consistent pattern. Like,
no.
Like if you're striper fishing on a hardwood,
right,
you're going to catch those fish about the same way every day,
yep.
same depth. One trout day will just decide he wants to go to 70 feet and hang out.
Yeah. And that's there again is the purpose of the downriggers. You got it. Once you find that depth that they're congregated in, definitely have your downrigger set in it.
Yep, that's it. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to ring up old buddy Kent Driscoll from B&M Poles and talk about some crappie. You'll notice Kent's going to mispronounce it, so y'all give him a break.
Good luck with that. Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, going to talk about catching some crappie in some muddy, muddy water, which is pretty much the whole southeast right now. Stay tuned.
Golden earring. I tell you what, you'd need some radar today to find love or fish or airplane or anything with all the fog that's in the area.
True.
But all we had to do was pick up the phone and call my buddy, Kent Driscoll. We got Kent on the line with us. Kent, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing great, Kent.
We're down here just kind of feeling our way in the fog, trying to find some clean water to fish in. Kent, how about you?
Hey, good luck with that, brother. I'll tell you what, man. It has not quit raining here in Tennessee. I'm in Nashville, and, man, it's raining right now. And it's going to clear off tomorrow, thank goodness, and I'm going tomorrow, and you guys are going to laugh. But I'm out here right now in the garage tying up rigs to fish muddy, clear, high water.
Well, what else is there to do with the weather we've had, Kent?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was hoping you guys were going to tell me. I was hoping you South Carolina boys had some kind of other, form of entertainment that you can do, number one, when it's cold, number two, when it's rainy, and number three, when it's foggy and windy.
Well, I've been catching catfish off the back porch in the backyard. They're just swimming right through the yard.
I was going to say, yeah, I bet. I bet that water's high and, hey, they got to eat sometime, right?
Right.
So what's your destination? Are you going to Priest tomorrow, Kent?
I am, yeah, going out to Priest. Believe it or not, and you guys are going to be shocked when I tell you this, but they have pulled Priest down 10 feet in 2 weeks, and we are actually at summer pool at 490 right now.
Wow.
And I fished down there last weekend at Priest. When I put my boat in, I was driving over logs and driftwood in the parking lot just to get to the ramp.
Wow.
And when I got to the ramp, the courtesy dock was about, 10 feet underwater. I saw it on my graph. How about that?
Well, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find that here. They must have some kind of a dam remediation or weed problem or something they're trying to address on Percy Priest if they're drawing it down that low.
Well, they can just release that much water out of this Cumberland River. It's a TVA lake, Tennessee Valley Authority, and they know that the spring is not gone, and they're taking every precaution they can and trying to get as much water out of this lake as they can right now. And you know, to be honest with you, this time of year when it's like this and you got all this high water, if you can find a lake that's somewhat close to normal, that's where you better go. And, and fortunately for me, Priest is going to be at summer pool this weekend. And, you know, I know where to fish it, how to fish it when it's at that level. If I was to go to, like, Kentucky Lake, half the boat ramps are closed there, and that's only 90 miles from me. So, you know, I'm trying to make a good fact-based decision and go someplace where I think I can catch some fish.
So if you're in Priest, where would you classify that on a normal situation as far as a clear water, muddy water, stained water lake?
Priest is a moderately stained lake. This time of year we got a lot of runoff. The primary source that feeds Priest is the Stones River, and when there's not any current and there's not a lot of rain, it has a tendency to get clearer in that upper end up there. And so that water, you know, when they start pulling that water, the whole lake itself clears up pretty quick. Okay. Right now I would say the visibility, even though we've had all this rain, guys, is probably about 6 to 8 inches, which is pretty good for this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, it's not like going mudding, you know, down in Mississippi or, you know, maybe over there at like Santee, close to where you guys are, where you got, you know, when you get these huge range and you get all that runoff out of those agricultural fields and it just turns it into mud. You know, we call it mud, you know, when you kind of fishing that stuff, we call it mud for crappie. So
when you're faced with that situation, and most of our upstate lakes here are relatively clear, you know, year round. Yep. And then we get all these heavy spring rains and it muddies everything up. What does that do to the fish? Is it going to affect them or is it just going to be business as usual?
No, it definitely affects them. The one thing that really helps is a warm rain. Okay, so like right now our air temperature outside, and it's raining right now, is about, you know, 62-63 degrees. Well, the water temperature has been in the low 50s, so what's happening is all this rain is warming that surface temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And these fish have been in a winter pattern, you know, most of the year, and all of a sudden the upper band of the water column is going to warm up quicker, and you know, the muddy water also warms up quicker because that sun can't penetrate it. And it kind of absorbs those rays, those sun rays. And so what happens is these fish get in that upper water column. And when I say that, you know, for example, last weekend I was fishing 20 to 22 foot of water, but I was catching my fish 6 to 9 foot. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, the water temperature was a lot warmer at the surface versus it is, you know, 10 feet or deeper. So a lot of these fish are suspended this time of year. And if you can find them, you know, you can catch them, dude. That's the part I love about it. You know, sometimes you got to cover a lot of water. Like, for example, last weekend, I thought I was going to be a smart guy and go up the creek to the Clearwater, and I did that, and I got up there, and I had good visibility. I had like 12 to, you know, 18 inches of visibility. The water was pretty, you know. I caught one keeper up there, and I told my guys, I said, man, let's go back in the main lake. Let's go get in a big creek and get in the mouth of a couple of these bays in this muddy water. Let's go mudding. Let's see if we can catch a few. And heck, we moved out and we got in the fish. Oh, I don't know, about 10 o'clock. And by noon, I think we had 30. So we ended up having a pretty, you know, a pretty successful day. And all we were doing was we were pushing 1 ounce weights with a bottom weight. And then we had 2 1/32 ounce fin spin spinners above it. And we just covered a lot of water. And then once we kind of found the fish, they were grouped up and they were in kind of a small area in the mouth of two bays. There was two little pockets that they were in the mouth of those pockets. And man, we kind of circled the wagons, to be honest with you. We went round and round and round in about 100-yard radius at both places. And when we caught one, we'd catch two or three. And then we'd go maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes to go by. And then we'd get in another group of them. So, you know, I could tell they were schooled up pretty tight on my graph. And we just kept going over and over and over and over them again and again. And we were moving, I think we were moving about 6/10 was kind of our key speed. And the little spinners we had on there, I think that really helped us. These new fin spins that I've been using for the past year, they give off a lot of flash. They give off a lot of vibration. And, you know, to me, it's an attractant bait. It attracts the fish to your bait. And then I'll mix it up with a bunch of different colors and different styles of tubes or curly tails or whatever it might be and start out that way. And then I kind of slowly drill it down till I find the key color, a jig head, and then the key color and style of bait that I want. Typically, I tip it with a small minnow, like a, you know, 1.5-inch tuffy. And, man, when I get that combo working and get it together, you know, that's it. Hey, it's time to fill the live wells up then.
And we're talking with Kent Driscoll. Kent is the pro staff manager for B&M Poles and also a professional crappie fishing tournament angler. And, Kent, you were talking about, you were describing the way that you fish is pushing. Now, a lot of folks out here would call that tight lining or slow vertical jigging. So, and a lot of folks here in this area, they like to tight line. A lot of folks also long line when they're crappie fishing. So is there a difference? Is there maybe a cutoff point when you'll stop pushing or tight lining and go to long lining? Or are you pretty much going to be tight lining year round?
Well, you know, Philip, it really, I let the fish tell me what to do. You know, I love the long line, and most of the time this time of year, that's what I'm doing. I can tell you, like last weekend, those fish were in such a small, tight area, I could stay on them better by tight lining through them and running about the same speed that I would long lining, you know, 6/10 to 7/10, you know, slow, cold water, you know, the fish aren't mega aggressive yet. And that's why I was tight lining last weekend. Now I can tell you, probably starting next week, I'm going to go back to long lining. I know the water's going to clear up. I know the water's going to warm up and I'll be able to cover that much more water long lining. And I feel like these fish are going to make a big push too. With this warm rain, I feel like a lot of fish are going to come out of, the major creek arms and the river channel arms and start working their ways back up in these bays. Cause you know, right now our water temperature's in the low 50s. But man, when it hits that magic mid-50s, that's when things start happening. And you can really, really have some, you know, some good days out there on the water.
And so to going back and recapping, you were talking about if you're trying to crappie fish this time of year, well, you're faced with a lot of muddy water. A couple things I heard you say was you want to attach a spinner blade on your jig head, and you're using the thin spins?
Yeah, the crappie magnet fin spins, absolutely. Yep.
So you're going to add a little bit of flash to it. You're also trying to use some bright colors in the jig heads that you're using, something that's maybe going to stand out a little bit in that murky water.
Let me tell you, it's hard to beat an orange and a pink. A hot pink and a glow orange color is really, really hard to beat in stained water. And the other thing, too, that I really pay close attention to on these fin spins, they have a silver blade and they have a gold blade. And I will tell you, last weekend, the gold blade was out catching the silver blade about 3-1. And I think it had to do with that gold blade just shows up better in that stained, muddy water.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had to give, you know, the average weekend angler a tip, I would just say, hey, try multiple baits, types of jig heads, different types of colors, and do the same thing with your jig bodies. You know, try the curly tail. Try something that might be a little more slender, like a crappie magnet. That's more of a straight twin tail type bait. You need to experiment to figure out what the fish want. And I got to tell you something I'm really, really excited about that's new, and it's coming from the Crappie Magnet Company. They've got a new Fin Spin Pro Series coming out, and it actually just hit the market yesterday. They put a post on Facebook that they've got that product in, and what that is it's the regular style fin spin head, but it's got a red hook, it's got red eyes, and it's tied up like a gnat. Okay, so on the shank of the hook, they have gone in there and wrapped it, and they've got flashaboo tinsel and some little rubber legs. So it's kind of a combination of a spinner and a gnat together. And I tell you what, man, we have field tested those baits. We're kind of playing with the hooks right now to figure out exactly what hook size we want. But you talk about some crappie catching baits right there. You basically took a gnat and added a spinner to it. And, man, I'll tell you what, for long lining or pushing, those baits will absolutely kill it. The other thing I like about that bait, specifically the fin spinning, which it's got a willow leaf that I talked about earlier, but that willow leaf will turn at really slow speeds. So at like 3/10 to 4/10, you will actually get that blade starting to turn. And if the fish are in a bad mood and you got to slow down to catch them, you want that flash, you want that vibration. And the opposite of that stands true too. As you speed up, that blade spins faster and it gives more RPMs, and you actually get more flash and more vibration.
And so, one thing that you said that made Springer happy was you're also, with all that going on at the same time, you're also tipping that thing with a live minnow, because Springer's like, hey, if all else fails, go to straight meat, right?
Exactly.
Or you put some meat in there.
Hey, put your little pork chop on there. It never hurt.
Awesome. Well, Kent,
that's
Driscoll,
some great information, Kent.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show with us, and some great information. Those of you who are out there scratching their heads, I'm going to give you a shameless plug here, because if you're interested in finding out some more tips and tactics about crappie fishing, you can go to bnmpoles.com, and you can see probably about, 10 years worth of tips and tactics and articles from guys like Kent.
Absolutely. We got archives and archives of great fishing tips. And, man, I get people complimenting us and really thanking us for doing that. Cause the average angler, man, he needs a place to go live, you know, go learn and pick up on this stuff before he heads to the water. So that's a great tip right there, Philip.
Awesome. Kent Driscoll, B&M Poles. Kent, go out there and catch him up, man. And, good luck this season. Let us know how you're doing.
Hey, I'm going to send you a picture tomorrow.
There you
All
go.
Right, man. Take care, brother.
All right, y'all take care, guys.
All right. Well, there you go.
Cuz got some 411 on some crappie
fishing.
Oh,
man,
dude.
He'll talk. Well, we're gonna take a break from talking ourselves, and we're going to go to our break. When we come back, do you have your turkey tags?
We're going to let you know right here on Upstate Outdoors. 106.3 WORD, Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, Money Penny in the house. Stay tuned.
Well, the question of the day, have you got your turkey tags yet?
Yep.
Springer's got his.
You think you got yours?
I think I got mine. I don't remember. Of course, I've been taking cold medicine all week, so what day is it? Is it Saturday?
It's Monday.
It's Monday? What are we doing a radio show on Monday?
We're filling in for Bobby Mack.
Oh, are we? Okay, turkey tags. This is a release from the Department of Natural Resources, as reported on CarolinaSportsman.com. Tags must be in possession while turkey hunting. If you requested turkey tags when you purchased your big game permit, sportsman, or combination license, Seasonal wild turkey tags should appear on your annual hunting license, and you should have already received your tags by mail. If you don't have your tags yet, make sure you take the necessary steps to get them soon. What's that mean?
That means you're calling the DNR.
Well, maybe we'll get into that. All hunters, including youth, are required to have turkey tags in possession while hunting for wild turkey. I told you all this story before, but I learned that the hard way one time. I just got a warning out of it when I was hunting one of my kids before they had to have a license.
Right.
Had a license. They were turkey hunting. You still got to get tags. Even if they don't have a license, you still got to go get tags for the kid.
By the law.
Youth, lifetime, and senior gratis disability licenses or individuals that did not request turkey tags at the time they purchased their license must request these free tags annually. You can order turkey tags. Here we go. You can order them by going online at dnr.sc.gov/purchase or completing and mailing in an application. Or better yet, you can call 803-734-3833. Please allow 5 to 7 days for the tags to arrive by mail. Now, tags are also available over-the-counter at DNR offices, which are fewer and further between than they used to be. But they do have offices in Charleston and Clemson, Columbia, and that's downtown and the farmers market area in Columbia, Florence, and York. I just found the one in York about 6 months ago.
Wow.
It's a little bitty office over there, but because I work over there sometimes, I slide in there. Tags are not available at point-of-sale licensed vendors like you used to get them at Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. I wouldn't go into Dick's anyway. Or SCDNR field offices not listed above. Turkey season opens March 20th, 2019 on private lands statewide and on April 1st on wildlife management area lands. Youth turkey hunting days are March 16th through 17th. Shoot, that's going to be what, next weekend? On private lands. And March 30th on WMA lands. The season runs through May the 5th statewide. Now, if seasonal wild turkey tags appears in your list of privileges on your hunting license and you have not received them in the mail, you should contact your license office. And I gave that number, 803-734-3833.
And your quickest way would probably be either the online deal or calling.
Yeah.
My opinion.
You scouting? Of course, we're going to get into that during the second hour. Talking
scout
about
when?
Scouting.
I mean, right now.
I didn't know if you had some. I didn't know if you had a pair of binoculars on the porch.
No,
or what.
I mean, dude, it's just, you know. I haven't. It's the weather has had me, you know, not doing a whole lot.
I travel a lot during the week,
and there you go.
I see a lot of them out in a wet field.
Absolutely,
and I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. But I don't have any fields on the property that I hunt.
And when it's raining like this, that's when you will see a lot of turkeys because they're trying to dry out too.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's March 20th will be here in, like I said, about 11 days.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the long-range forecast, not that I really believe it much anyway.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's still going to be pretty much wet or even not dried out, even if it does miraculously stop raining, you know, this weekend.
Yeah.
I think they're calling for it to dry out a little bit next week.
We shall see. But
so we'll see.
No, I haven't been. I haven't looked. I hadn't nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So you're just going to go in, you know, blind like usual?
Probably more likely.
Go in blind. Do the same old thing.
I mean, you know, when you're hunting an area that you're familiar with, okay, year after year after year, that helps.
Yeah.
You can do that, you know. And
it's funny how even, I mean, they'll still... They're not so much patternable to me like deer.
No.
But they are to a certain extent.
Right.
They'll kind of show up in the same places, and especially if the land hasn't changed that much.
Exactly.
And they'll, you know, they'll strut in the same places. And I tell you, what I really wish I had, and I hadn't had it for years, like I said, is that big open field.
Exactly.
Because that's a good strutting zone.
Strutting zone.
If it gets wet.
Yep. And they love to gather in those areas, you know, to show off their feathers and their look and to dry out in weather like this.
I used to have fairly good success trying to wait for them to fly down into a clear cut, but now those clear cuts are over my head.
Are 10-foot trees.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of jungle. Yeah. It's going to be
Stay in the creek bottoms. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to our break. Top of the hour, we'll come back with Roadkill Cafe.
Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Stay tuned. News break. Roadkill on the flip side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.